share. And as she comes, I do quite a few things in my time with Father. And one of the things that I do is I have a series of meditations. And this is one that I read recently, and it's written by the guy, Brian Simmons, who has written the Passion Translation of the Bible. And I just want you to close your eyes and listen, and then Anna's going to take over. The power of gratitude has been undervalued by my people. As you give me thanks, I refine your soul and remove regret from your life. I will free you when you give me thanks. The more you are satisfied, the more freedom and release from pain I will bring into your life. The power of praise has yet to be fully activated. Greater than any force known to man is the power I release when you praise me. To receive my blessings and never give me thanks is the mark of an unbeliever. To receive my blessings and be consumed with gratitude is the mark of a true worshipper. Amen.
Well, good morning. Am I on? Is that on? I think I'm on. I'm on. I'm not on. My technical assistant. Talking, Anna. I'm talking. Oh, there we go. My sons would say I don't actually need the mic, so it probably wouldn't make any difference if I had it or not. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all. And my name is Anna, and as you know, I've recently become an elder. And suddenly, I really don't know anything. I thought I didn't beforehand, and now it's true. So I am the wife of Chris and the mother of Daniel, Joseph, Rebecca and Madison. I am a teacher. That is not my first passion, but it is my passion now. I love teaching people. I teach refugees and asylum seekers English at South and City College in Hall Green. My family and I have been in this church some time. Chris and I came as a young married couple, or unmarried actually. We came just before we got married. We just moved into the area. I was working as a solicitor in Birmingham. We were just about to get married and moving into Acox Green, and we joined the church then. Since then, we haven't always been here. We've spent 9 years in China, which was amazing. 3 years without children. Yes, well done, Mike. 3 years without our children, and then we came home, had Dan and Joe, and then went back to China for 6 years. And that was a really great time of living in another culture, which was fantastic, but also learning the power of gratitude. Because certainly when you are without your comforts and perhaps without your support networks, it actually does throw you onto God. Well, we started a series on the character of God, haven't we, last week? And as a teacher, I know people, just because they're sitting in your classroom, doesn't mean that they're learning what you're teaching them. And it was a revelation to me that I had done a fantastic lesson on phrasal verbs, but nobody understood it except me when they left the classroom. So I will tell you what I got out of last week. So Ben started, didn't he? And I got that I am chosen as a child of God. That is my identity. I may be a wife and mother. I may be a teacher, slightly frustrated at times, but I am a child of God.
Amen.
And out of my identity, I am called to be like him.
Yes.
So that's what I got out of last week. And we know, don't we, that we need an attitude of gratitude. We know that actually, like Sally was saying, that is good for us because it does bring us closer to God. Amen. Let's have the worship band. I think that's it, isn't it? Our identity is in Christ. We are children of God. And out of that, no matter what our circumstances, we can be thankful. Amen. And boy, there are some challenging circumstances in life. Are there not? And when Daniel got baptized a few years ago, Dave Wart came round and gave him a journal and said, "This is your gratitude book. Because as a child of God, as a believer, we are called to have an attitude of gratitude."
Anna, could you just remove your earring?
My earring?
Yeah, it's banging against it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
See.
Sorry.
Right. Technique number one, don't wear big earrings, obviously. Is that better? Okay. So, David, could you go on? So, I was challenged, because we're talking about the character of God. Is gratitude a character of God? That was a bit challenging for us, really, sort of for me to bring the link. But actually, it's a major theme, isn't it, through the Old and the New Testament. Our thankfulness to God, okay? And in fact, it's as we are thankful that we are being restored, aren't we, into our relationship with him. And that's what he wants. That's what Ben was saying last week, wasn't it? That actually the creation story, the salvation story, it's actually restoring us, isn't it, to that original plan, the original plan of being children of God. And out of that, we can be thankful. So, you know, I think we can be honest with each other, can't we? Thankfulness, if we're just doing the Cheshire Cat ridiculous smile thing, that's not what God wants, is it? God wants our hearts to be changed, doesn't he? God wants thankfulness to come out of reality. And I'll just invite you into my world. So the telephone rings, and I'm trying to be nice to the person on the phone. Somebody, one of our children, is in the toilet, destroying the toilet. She's bashing, she's kicking the door, she's screaming, and she's supposed to be on the toilet, but she's, you know, hopefully, and I'm trying to be thankful, am I? I'm trying to say, well, thank you so much, God, for this lovely circumstance I'm in. No, I'm not going to be thanking God that Rebecca is bashing the door, am I? That's not genuine. I'm not going to be thanking God that Rebecca is having a massive tantrum because she's been asked to go on the toilet. I'm going to be thanking God that he has a plan for her life.
Amen.
I'm going to be thanking God that he has rescued her. I am going to be thanking God that he is equipping me to deal with the fact that she is bashing the door and screaming, even though I perhaps am struggling. But I am not going to be thanking God. Thank you, God, that Rebecca's destroying our house. Thank you, God, that she's so distressed and damaged that that's what she's doing. I'm not going to be thanking God for that, am I? I'm going to be thanking God that he has a plan for her, that she is his child, and that he can heal her. Right, so out of our relationship with God, we are called to be thankful. And that is the challenge, isn't it? So, David, could I have the next one? Thank you. So, how do we become more like Christ? Does having an attitude of gratitude make us more like Christ? And how does it play out in my world, in your world? How do we develop a relationship with God that leads us to be thankful as part of our restored nature? That is the challenge, isn't it? And how do we get the family characteristics because we have been adopted as his children? Now, many of you know Madison and Rebecca are our beautiful adopted daughters. They are not our biological relations. However, they are our family.
Amen.
And in fact, they may not share our DNA in their blood, but they now share our family DNA.
Yeah.
And in fact, Rebecca and Joseph are really very similar in physical characteristics and in personality. Both very passionate people, which is wonderful, isn't it? It is wonderful. We are called to be adopted. Or we are adopted, that's a fact, aren't we? As God's children, and we were talking about that last week. So we may not be biologically related to each other, even in this family, but we are family, aren't we? And we can have the family characteristics. So, David, could you show the next slide? So this is my eldest son, Daniel, and this is my father. And in between them is a picture of my mother and my father on their wedding day. So that is very similar to Daniel. Daniel and my dad are very similar. Not in character, necessarily. Joseph and my dad are more similar in character. But Daniel is very physically similar to my dad, other than height, I'm afraid, Daniel. So Daniel doesn't have to work at being like his grandfather. He didn't decide, I'm going to look like my grandfather or anything like that. He is naturally like him. And that is the blessing of DNA. But we are naturally have to work at being like our Heavenly Father. But what he wants is for our natures to be restored. Not just the surface, not just how people look at us. He wants our nature to be restored as we live out our adoption into his family. And in our family, that's what we are believing for Madison and Rebecca. That although they're not our biological relations, that their natures will be restored, that their little personalities, that their damaged neurons, that their damaged neural pathways, which have been damaged because of the life that they led, they will be restored as they live out the reality of their life now. And that actually is a fantastic picture of how God wants us to be, isn't it? Because we are adopted as his children. And although the biological thing isn't true for Madison and Rebecca, we're really working at being a family together. We're working at being natural together. And that's actually what God wants. So let's look at the challenging verses from Scripture, David. So here we are. Here's our first unpleasant verse that is difficult to live. It's true, though, isn't it? So 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, and this is from the NIV. Be joyful always. Pray continually. This gets more and more ridiculous, doesn't it? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That is very, very difficult. Be joyful always. It doesn't mean be cheerful or happy always, does it? It doesn't mean to have the Cheshire Cat, oh, everything's fine. Oh, everything's wonderful. I'm so pleased Rebecca's destroying the toilet. No, it doesn't mean that, does it? It doesn't. And the challenge for all of us is to find joy in very trying situations. Physically trying, emotionally trying, spiritually trying, financially trying. To find that deep joy, which is our inheritance. Pray continually. Rely on God continually. Not just when you feel guilty about it, not just in your quiet times, but always through the day. That is a real challenge, isn't it? To keep the dialogue with your Heavenly Father going. Not just for special times. Give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in them. And that is the challenge. And it would be insincere and hypocritical, wouldn't it? To say we are thankful for the bad things. But we can be thankful in them, can't we? And that is the big difference. And it's God's will for us, isn't it? That is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And I think that's a real powerful thing. That actually when we're living out thankfulness, particularly in difficult circumstances, we can be thankful out of our identity in Christ. And because we trust God. We may not understand our circumstances. We may not be enjoying our circumstances. We may be a victim of somebody else's bad decision. We may be, unfortunately, a victim of the fallen creation in our bodies, that our bodies aren't working properly. But we can be thankful in those circumstances. We can be thankful that God has a plan for our life. We can be thankful that we belong to him. So let's have a look at this in the Message, David, please. Thank you. So, same verse in the Message. The way he wants you to live. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. And that is very, very challenging. And I was very impacted by that. So can we go on to the next slide, David? Because it made me think about giving thanks in all circumstances. And, you know, we want to look at the life of Jesus, don't we? We want to consider him. So do you think Jesus was thankful that he was going to the cross? Oh, thank you, Father. This is such a great plan. I'm so thankful that I've got to do this for you. I really would struggle with that. But no matter, he obeyed, didn't he? He obeyed. So, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Which is probably what a lot of people pray. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Not great circumstances for Jesus at that point. And in fact, it just got worse, didn't it, from there on in? But he trusted God. He trusted his Father. I don't want to do this. I would rather we had another way, God. Could we have plan B? But I know that I can trust you. I know that your plan will work out. It will be amazing. And for me as a Roman Catholic, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, this type of reading, this type of thing, it's Good Friday. It's the 3 o'clock Mass on Good Friday, the liturgy. And if you ever have a chance, go to a Catholic service at 3 o'clock on a Good Friday. When I became a Christian, I would have to take a lot of tissues because I would weep from the beginning of that service to the end because of the impact of the anguish of Jesus, the difficulty of going to the cross, of the thinking about all of that and the separation from his Heavenly Father that he had to endure. You know, once you're a believer and you go to liturgy, if you really enter in, it's amazing. It's very powerful. And I think that Jesus was giving thanks in those circumstances. He was maintaining his relationship with the Father in those circumstances, wasn't he? He was praying continually. He was being joyful. But it's not a happy, giggly joy, is it? It's that deep trust. This is my identity. I am a child of God. So, in my life, I like to get out of the house occasionally, and I like to run or walk quickly, not really run. And I like to listen to things on my headphones, and I like to listen to sermons. And this is a sermon I heard about Christmas time, actually. So can you go up to the next slide, David? So I heard a lady called Candice Johnson from Bethel, and I probably heard it about Christmas time, but she preached on this at the end of November for Bethel's Thanksgiving service, for their Thanksgiving at the end of November. And she was speaking about thankfulness, about gratitude. And it really impacted me about the spiritual power of gratitude. That this isn't self-help, is it? This isn't, oh, well, if you just positively speak about your life, and if you try and look on the bright side, and if you try and find things that are good about bad situations... This is more than that, isn't it? This is a spiritual thing. That when we give thanks, we are entering into our inheritance. We are entering into restoration in our relationship with God. We are able to confess positively to those around us of trust in God. But above all, I think it's a spiritual weapon. I think that when you are thankful in difficult situations, it really irritates the enemy. It really irritates him. Because actually, he wants us to be depressed, oppressed, fed up. Then we're useless. That's what he would like. And in fact, there are many things to be fed up in life. Many, many. But that's not what God wants for us. So it needs to be our habit, this lady says. That's difficult. But in fact, it's a bit like exercise or brushing your teeth or any of those other things that actually it's a good idea to have as our habit. We don't do them just when we feel like it. It's got to be more than just relying on our emotions. It has to be an act of will. It does. We need to cultivate this habit, she said. We need to be intentional about it, which is really difficult, isn't it? When we don't feel thankful, the emotions aren't there. And it needs to be the tone of our life. So I teach my students about analysing texts, talking about the tone of a text. It's what's the writer's attitude in the text. So if somebody was looking at your life, what would they say the tone of your life was? That's a bit of a challenge. At the moment, the tone of my life is very moany. I moan at my children quite a lot at the moment. I'm moaning about lots of different things because nobody's doing what they should do. And I'm irritated. But actually... the tone of our life, if it was thankfulness, that is very powerful. And it changes things in the spiritual atmosphere. When we confess gratitude, and for the things that we can truly and sincerely be thankful for, not the things that we should be thankful for, because what's the point of that? Who are you impressing? You have to be sincere and honest with yourself. So, I can be thankful that God has a plan for Rebecca's life. I can be thankful that he saved her and has placed her with our family. I can be thankful that he will be with her the whole of her life. Those are the things I genuinely can be thankful for. And I can be thankful for the healing that's happening in her life. I can genuinely be thankful for those. Everything else I'm a bit wobbling on. And I'm not going to be insincere, because I want to be real. Real with people and real with my father. I can't fool him, can I? So, thankfulness enters us into the presence of God. So, David, can we have our next scripture? It is the gate for us to enter into his presence. When I am moaning, when I am complaining, I am not going to be glad to be in his presence, am I? So, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And they've got to be linked, haven't they? We enter his courts with thanksgiving. Why can we express thanksgiving? Because the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. That means now, that means before, and that means to come. And we can confess that as truth, and that will change the spiritual atmosphere. David, could I have the next one? So thankfulness enables us to be ushered into the presence of God. It's the gate to God's presence. Gives you perspective on all that God is doing rather than what you think God should be doing. So sometimes our prayer is just a liturgy, a litany, isn't it? Of God, do this, please do that, please do the other. So actually, spending time on being thankful for the things you can genuinely be thankful for is really important. It helps you enter that presence with your Father. So, the challenge, David. So this lady, Candice Johnson, she said that thankfulness is oxygen to our bodies. Complaining is carbon monoxide, which I thought was very true. And it is true, isn't it, that complaining damages our spirits and the spirits of others around us. Now, it doesn't mean being unreal. It doesn't mean not naming your circumstances or burying your head in the sand or any of those things. But it's perspective, isn't it? And it's what do you dwell on? What do you feast on? Yes. And it is that being a radiator and not a drain challenge. I have a lady in my office who's a perfectionist. She's a wonderful woman, an amazing teacher, but my goodness, nothing is ever right. Nothing. The sun is shining, it's too hot. It's nearly the end of term, I haven't got my students through my exams. Everything is wrong. Everything. Because she's a perfectionist, she finds nothing to be acceptable. So Friday afternoon, my colleague said, "What are you doing this weekend?" I said, "Oh, a bit of a crazy weekend. Madison's in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Parents are coming up to see it. Daniel's going to buy a new car because he had an accident. Oh, and I'm speaking at church on Sunday." Oh, what are you speaking about? Thankfulness. So the perfectionist didn't say anything. The other lady said, "Oh, that's really good. Yeah, we've all got so much to be thankful for. Haven't we?" to the lady. And she said, "Hmm." And then two or three people said, "Yeah, it's very true, actually." And then one said, "Oh, it's going to rain tomorrow." So I said, "Well, but we're thankful it's the weekend, isn't it?" You know, isn't that great? So actually, they just was a minute's conversation, and they actually understood the power of thankfulness. And I didn't want to say to the lady, "You're a drain. Stop being so moaning all the time." Be real, be realistic, but actually, we can confess God's faithfulness in our difficult circumstances. So, we've had a challenging time with the NHS recently. We enjoyed a couple of emergency visits to the NHS, and I couldn't say that I dealt with those very well. I was incredibly anxious, another one not quite so anxious, and it was only this Monday, which is typical, isn't it, that I had the challenge to be thankful in my circumstances. I wasn't thankful that we were there, as in enjoying their hospitality. I wasn't thankful for that, but I was certainly thankful for the plan that God had for this child's life. I was thankful for the NHS and that we weren't in a country perhaps where that wasn't available. I was thankful for the really thorough care we got. I was thankful for the results at the end. They were good results, so that was great. That isn't always true. The results aren't always good, are they? The results sometimes are bad. But I needed to be thankful in those very trying circumstances. So, we better move swiftly on to our last challenging verse, Colossians 3, 15 to 17. So, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. We can't be thankful in isolation. We have to be thankful because of our identity in Christ. We have to be thankful because we've let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We have to be thankful because we have dwelt on the word of Christ. It has to dwell in us. It has to live, make its habitation in us. That is very challenging. And I definitely don't like whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it's a challenge, isn't it? If you think, oh, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever it is, shouting at the children, complaining, is that really going to be the standard we want? That is very challenging. So, David, what are you feasting on? What are you dwelling on? Certainly Facebook and things like that can create a modern disease. It's called FOMO, apparently, the fear of missing out. Are we looking at other people's lives and thinking, oh, their life is so much better than mine, I haven't got anything to be thankful for? Are we allowing every thought to be taken captive to Christ? Every thought. Are we stewarding our hearts, our ears, our eyes, our tongue in challenging situations? Philippians 4, verse 8 says, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That's the things we should be thinking about. Yes. Those things. We should be dwelling on those things. So, David, last slide. How do we build this muscle of thankfulness? How do we build it? So my boys like the gym. They have a leg day. They have an arm day. They have a something other day, I don't know. And they have repetition, reps, are they called reps? Where you repeat the same exercise again and again and again. It's so boring. But it works. You get a good muscle. You get a good muscle. But it has to be built, doesn't it? Yeah? You have to build muscle. And that's the thing. We have to make a decision that if this is our identity, if this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, then we can be honest and real. But we all have things to be thankful for, all of us. I'm certainly thankful that my eternity is sorted out. That's quite a good thing to be thankful for. You know, that I don't have to worry about that. I know God has been faithful to me when Chris earned £250 a month and we earn a bit more. I know that God has been faithful to me when we needed to move house. We didn't have enough money, but actually God allowed us to move house miraculously. So we can be historically thankful, but I actually can be thankful today, can't I? I can be thankful today. And I need to start where I am, definitely. I need to know it's God's will for me to be thankful in all circumstances. Not for them, in them. I need to confess gratitude out loud. And apparently when you go to the gym and you lift a heavy weight, you should have a spotting partner, spotting partner. Somebody should spot for you. Basically means that they make sure you lift the weight properly. That's perhaps what we need. We need accountability for our friend to say, come on, let's get out of this rut. Let's think of some other things to dwell on. Let's dwell on God's faithfulness rather than the diagnosis. Let's dwell on God's enduring love rather than the relationship breakdown. And we need to use thankfulness as a spiritual weapon. It does change the atmosphere. And we can be intentional in giving thanks every day. Now, I don't know if any of you saw this week the really moving documentary by Rio Ferdinand about the death of his wife, Rebecca. She was in her early 30s. She died from cancer 10 weeks after diagnosis. Really, really challenging. Really challenging. And that really challenged me so much, the way that he was trying to deal with his children. That was an amazing thing. But actually, kids, they're very good at entering into silly games or, you know, doing crazy things. They don't have as much self-awareness, really, which is beautiful, isn't it? And they were having a memory jar, which was lovely. They had a jar that they were putting in memories of mummy that they could remember. But actually, he met some dads whose wives had all died, or partners had all died, and they played top trumps, the worst things that had happened to them. And it was so moving, the terrible things that had happened to these men and their families. But actually, we can play those games with our children, but with each other. Oh, no, I've got a better one. I'm thankful for this. But actually, being real and genuine about it. I did try in my house. We put a whiteboard on the wall, and I said we had to write things on there, good things that had happened to us during the day. Because sometimes by the end of the day, we're not very happy with each other or our circumstances. And it did work for a little bit, but it's that intentionality. We've got out of the habit. So it's building good habits. You could write things down. You could keep a journal. But the confession of our mouths is so important as a spiritual weapon. So the challenge to you this week is to be thankful in your circumstances, not for them. So, worship band, I think we're going to try and be intentional in our thankfulness now. Thank you.
We are indeed. So, while the band is just getting themselves ready, thank you, Anna. I think when we've heard something like that, it just stirs usually something up within us. And I'm sure many of you are sitting there thinking, maybe I should be a little bit more thankful. Maybe even this morning I wasn't terribly thankful about the circumstances that I woke up in. So while they're just sort of choosing their song that they're going to start us off with, why don't we just ask for some forgiveness? Because we have a Father who we can come to at any time, who is faithful to forgive us, because we want to worship God with all of our heart, mind and soul. And that's difficult when you know that you've maybe thought something, done something that wasn't very great. So Father, we want to thank you that you are faithful to forgive us. And so this morning we take this opportunity to just say, Father, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that I am a bit moany. I'm sorry that I do allow the circumstances to sometimes rule me and take over my life. And thank you that I have Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, will you help me in this area? Will you remind me of the things that I really can be thankful for? That I'm alive, that I have breath in my body, that I have food on the table, that I have clothes to wear, that I have family, I have friends. Just remind me of the things that I truly can be thankful for. And that the more I start to thank you, the more freedom I will walk in. And the more that the atmosphere around me will change. And I will become above my circumstances and not underneath them. So as we now spend this last time worshipping you, it comes from a grateful heart that we're loved by the King of Kings. We're loved by the Father of all fathers. That we're accepted in the Beloved. That we're wanted. That Jesus likes us. He doesn't just love us, he likes us too. So we worship you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. Because you're so worthy. Amen.